I like Hugh Hewitt the best.
News Talk 1070 listeners talk about the talk show.
Well, you know, he's a law professor, and he worked in the Reagan administration. He's well-rounded and comes by his views honestly. And even though he's a Christian and not afraid to say it, he doesn't retreat into faith-based positions that can't be rationally defended. Hugh is the most rational talk show host I can remember hearing in the 13 years I've been listening to talk radio.
And how old are you?
13.
Hey, who wants to have some fun?
This is going to be great.
And now we're pleased to bring you our feature presentation.
Yes, it's time once again for Radio Free X-Man.
What's Radio Free X-Man?
We've got 11,000 people at NASA trying to figure that out right now.
Radio Free X-Man's beloved cast of broadcast entertainers are back.
You all know people like this. You may be people like this.
Now, the charming and delightful president of X-Man Mortgage and host of Radio Free X-Man, Bob.
Your head is freakishly large.
And I'm afraid that head has not grown any smaller.
we're not shocked or surprised.
No, I've still got the propane tank pants hat combination that you were talking about last
week. You remember
last week
you said his hat wasn't that big, and I said it could fit on the propane tank at the trailer house?
And he's talking about his trailer house.
It's just usually when he refers to propane tank, he's referring to my dog, so... Which is a sadly accurate description.
I was going to say, there's a story there, and we want to hear it.
We know you're listening to Radio Free X-Man. This is a show about mortgage and mortgage-related things, and we discuss mortgage nonstop, at least for 30 seconds during any given show.
If we're lucky and fortunate.
Yes, if we're lucky and fortunate. With us in the studio is Big Dog Dave Perkins, all 690 pounds and 8'4" of him. Say hello, Dave.
I produce radio shows like this for breakfast.
Also to my left, and this is the only time you find him on my left, is Brewing Frog.
Hello.
Brewing Frog knows many things about brewing and frogs.
But if he brews frogs, then...
Really, the word for this week is amplexus.
That's the worst beer I've ever tasted.
But somehow I don't care.
Okay.
But now it's got a lot of hops.
Yeah.
I can barely stand it.
And yes, everyone in here is sober.
Although jokes like that will make you need a drink.
Who is this beautiful lady in our midst here?
To my demi left is the tax goddess. She knows all things tax and tax related. She's a tax-tual woman.
And now the amazingly robotic audience that sounds the same every time they talk.
They're well trained.
Come on, you can only do so much with, like, you know, eight old women and shock chairs. Now clap again. Clap.
The power must be out.
Yeah. Don't make me hit this button. Yeah.
A lot of things going on this week out in the big wide world. Amongst them, an appearance, I have to mention this. And let me call up the audio so we can play it for you, because you're not going to believe it. Bill Keller, the editor-in-chief, El Jefe, over at the New York Times, spent some time on the air trying to defend himself on Bob Schieffer's show, which is what, Space the Nation on CBS?
Yeah, the show that no one watches.
and Schieffer was worshiping at the altar of press privilege when he asked Bill Keller.
If you had something to say to people in America on this 4th of July weekend about all this, what would it be, Mr. Keller?
I guess I would say,
don't sue me.
If you're
you
under the impression that the press is neutral
we're
in
not.
This war on terror, or that we're agnostic, and you could get that impression from some of the criticism.
No, you couldn't.
That couldn't be more wrong. We have people traveling in the front lines with soldiers in Iraq
not
and
on
Afghanistan.
Not on your payroll.
Had,
well, he's talking about the leakers.
People who've been murdered in trying to figure out the terrorist threat.
That guy worked for the Wall Street Journal.
We live in cities that are targets, proven targets, for the terrorists. So we're not neutral in this.
We're not neutral. He can't bring himself to say we're pro-America and we hope we win the war. The best he can do is say we're not neutral. And that's a false premise, because no one's accusing the New York Times of being Switzerland.
No.
We're accusing them of helping the enemy. And they're doing it. So he began the whole deal on a
false
premise. And then he seems to think that journalists on the front lines is somehow proof that he's pro-America and hopes we win the war. To which I say, only if they have guns in their hands and they're using them to kill the enemy. As long as they're over there just trying to win Pulitzer Prizes and buff up their chances of a book deal that can turn into a movie. I don't see how that relates to whether they're for or against the war or the country in general.
And half of the articles they write are packed full of lies about what is not actually happening in Iraq.
Isn't that the
Because
truth?
It's not what the soldiers are saying when they're coming back. It's not what the Iraqi people are saying.
Or any mill blog you managed to tee up on the net.
Soldier after soldier comes home and just drops his jaw in shock at what he hears and doesn't hear in the news, because it is so blindingly different from his everyday experience in the past year or 2 years or however long 3 or 4 enlistments is, because they keep going back.
How could it be?
It must be horrible that they keep reenlisting. I can't imagine.
Well, on the subject of mortgage, we were just looking at this article about Al Gore and global warming.
Al Gore?
Oh, no, no. We need to talk, about Cindy Sheehan.
Oh, Cindy Sheehan.
Cindy Sheehan.
Oh, dear.
She's my hero.
My heroine.
And the tax goddess reprioritizes our host once again, as has happened so many millions of times in this life.
Thank you. Can you untie me now?
No, I'm enjoying this one.
On the subject of mortgages, what about Cindy Sheehan?
After you, ma'am.
Okay, we've all heard that she's going on a hunger strike until we cut
from
and run.
From the looks of her,
Iraq.
She could use it, too.
And, well, personally, hunger strikes just drive me crazy to begin with, okay? If you don't want to eat, I'm not going to make you eat. You know what? Go ahead and go hungry, but I'm not going to change what I'm doing. I mean, why should I throw a tantrum? Therefore, I'm going to hurt myself if you don't do what I want. That's like the classic, I'm going to hold my breath till I turn blue unless I get what I want. Well,
Saddam Hussein went on a hunger strike last week. Saddam Hussein said, I'm not going to eat until justice is done. I am the president of Iraq. And it was like 8 hours. He skipped lunch and ate dinner.
Yeah, I was going to say, apparently justice was done along with a steak.
It was
well done.
Yeah, really. And I want my goat savory. Yeah, thank you very much.
But even better, apparently she and her commie loving pinko liberal. Not that I have an opinion.
Say what you leave out there.
The vegetarians.
Friends in Hollywood, Susan Sarandon.
They're all joining in.
Danny Glover. But.
There's a catch.
It's a rotating assignment hunger strike.
I love it. Yeah. They're going to go hungry for an entire day and then play tag team to the next star so that person can go an entire day without food and support.
Seriously, Sean Penn doesn't eat lunch, Susan Sarandon doesn't eat dinner, and Cindy Sheehan doesn't eat breakfast, and that is a Hollywood hunger strike.
Guys, right now, I just want to let you know, I am copywriting the liberal diet, okay? So when you go by and you see those things, you know, the right there at the supermarket, and you wonder, how do you lose weight? It's like the so-and-so diet, the this. It's the liberal diet. Thank you very much. But you know, hey, when that book comes out, I want my check.
Well, I do the Desma diet.
What's that?
That's the don't eat so damn much diet.
We are a classy bunch.
I've still been on the seafood diet.
When
it works great
for me.
Seafood,
I eat it.
Absolutely.
It's a great diet.
And now for something completely different.
And now, Radio Free X-Men, sponsored by X-Men Mortgage, talks mortgage.
Oh, don't be ridiculous.
I fail to see what is accomplished by all the talk.
I cannot accept that course of action.
Sorry.
And we're all just shocked now, not having any idea what to do.
You knew the bill was going to show up sooner or later, and here it is.
It's sponsor time, and now the president and benevolent dictator of X-Men
Mortgage. With a freakishly large head.
Your head is freakishly large.
Bob Brooks.
Pulling off his size 9 3/4 ball cap.
Thank you, children. Today we will discuss 100% financing on your home or your property.
Mm-hmm.
There are several ways to do that. The two most prominent ones are getting an entire loan, one loan for the entire amount. That's 100% financing.
Mm-hmm.
And another way to do it is to do an 80-20. Or a 70-30,
yeah.
Or some variation thereof, where you get actually two loans on the property. Generally speaking, they're from the same lender, but they don't always have to be.
Wait a minute. You mean the same lender can be both the primary and secondary lien holder? Can they sell the house twice if you default on both notes?
No. You just see your loan officer, Sybil.
So why would you want to do one versus the other? 100% versus 80-20, which last time I checked, add up to 100.
That's right. 100% is what's nice about that is you got one set of closing costs. So generally speaking, your closing costs will be lower. On an 80-20, you're going to have a second set of closing for that 20% loan. Now, 100%, generally speaking, you're going to have mortgage insurance on.
What's that?
Well, that's something the lender wants to cover the to cover the mortgage in case you default on it.
So he doesn't have to sell the house twice. Only once he'll do it.
That's right. Generally speaking, the higher the loan-to-value, a little bit more risky of a loan. Once you get above 80%, a lender wants to have some kind of insurance, and that's called PMI, or shortened down, mortgage insurance. The 80-20 gets around that because that first loan is 80%. So you don't go over your 80%. And then the second loan, the piggyback loan, covers the rest of the purchase price up to 100%.
And you can arrange them with different terms and conditions so that, for example, you could pay off the 20% loan in 5 years, and that way your house payment would drop?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And in fact, the 20 usually ends up being a shorter term, or it'll be a 30-year amortization due in 15 or recast, something like that.
I see.
Something pretty interesting to think about, though, is one of the loans will have mortgage insurance, right, the 100. The other won't have mortgage insurance, but frequently will have a higher overall rate. The 80-20 tends to have a higher blended rate, what they call. However, and I'm sure the tax goddess will agree with this, the interest is deductible.
Okay? And the insurance is
not. But the mortgage insurance is not deductible.
Hello!
It is a concept we are beginning to learn at some great cost.
So this is something you have to weigh into your Confucian calculus.
There will be a pop quiz on this at the end of the program.
Confucian. Did we get Mugu Gai Pan with that?
No, it's Pop Goes the Weasel Loan Officer.
That's not very nutritious.
Just analyzing this briefly, I would think that if you had a higher blended rate and most of the high part of the rate was on the 20 and you paid that off pretty quickly, it would result in less money being spent on interest over the same time period.
You betcha. That's right. There are all kinds of strategies that you can effect when you're trying to do your mortgage. And so what you do is you call us at 281-813-0509, and I can go over these and what's available to you. Or, of course, Google up IXMAN.
That number again.
281-813-0509.
And so ends the sponsor portion of
Korgoth of Barbaria.
I'm glad that's over.
Yeah, really. Oh, that hurt.
Come on. I know you're waiting anxiously for the season premiere of Korgoth of Barbaria in September on the Cartoon Network.
Why should I? I've heard it on your show.
Just weekend,
many
don't be
times.
Too busy watching college football.
Yeah. I tell you what, we do need to find out a way to blend into our program a whole rainbow of pain.
But this rainbow is not just like any other rainbow. It's...
I think the listeners are already about 90% there. Thank you.
It's rip.
Now, see, we've lost them already.
Yeah, come back, sweet listener.
What are they talking about? Yeah.
And on the subject of mortgage.
Mortgage?
let's have a grill discussion.
A grill discussion?
No, girl. No, grill. Oh. Grill discussion.
We are not grilling any girls, and that's my final word on it.
Pay attention, boys and grills.
Well, it's awfully hard to get them to stay on the little grill things. They squeal, they scooch around.
You have to promise them diamonds to do it.
Yeah, and I use nonstick. I mean, what? No, we cooked ribs this weekend. It was a beautiful thing. I mean, it was, you know, I don't know if you know a bunch about the weather in Houston. It rains pigs and sheep here all the time. You got different striations of rain. You have cats and dogs. Yeah. You know, it's raining cats and dogs. Well, the next move up is pigs and sheep. You know, larger mammals, cloven hoofed. Then you work your way up to elephants and rhinos. So, you know, and that's...
Does Weber make one that'll fit those?
Absolutely.
Does Hank Hill sell a propane tank?
Don't worry,
enough?
Folks. We do mortgages for Weber grills that size.
We call this the Overlarge Endangered Species Master 2005.
Really? You need bigger than a Weber, Weatherby 450 to bring these down. You're going to need this grill to cook them on.
And it's powered by clean, inexpensive propane.
Can you believe the sass coming out of his mouth?
And propane accessories.
That's right.
Taste the meat, not the heat.
So
for those of you in Houston who are not in the know, Brewing Frog knows many, many things about chefing and chef-related items.
You bet. Never play me in Trivial Pursuit. So anyway, no, it was very good this weekend. Just for fun's sake, everybody likes to cook, or at least they should. Cooking is a labor of love. I mean, just think about it. if you're going to cook for your friends all day long, you're doing over a hot stove, you're doing this, you're doing that, that's a labor of love, man. You don't do that for just anybody unless you're like a professional.
Goodness knows I slave all over a hot microwave every day. That's my labor. Yes, yeah. My 30 seconds of love is what
Don't
Jerry
believe
calls
him.
It.
Actually, Big Bob Brooks can cook pretty darn well.
I bled in the kitchen last night. I got a paper cut opening a box of macaroni and cheese. So don't tell me I don't suffer for food.
Yeah, PIRG will be on the phone shortly. So anyway,
Purge? That's the anorexia company, right?
That'll be in segment four of this program.
Oh, my gosh. You know, that the public interest research group.
Oh, PIRG.
Yes, yes. Those happy guys. You know, the Center for Science of the Public Interest.
They're always binging and purging, I understand.
Yeah, if only that it didn't court. So anyway, ribs. There we go. Very good. So I'm going to keep to the ribs.
Well, hold it. Were these piggy ribs or cowie ribs?
Piggy.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Piggy. A real Texan eats beef ribs.
A real Texan eats every rib.
Yes.
You bet. Except ferret.
Ferret.
They're greasy. They're small, but they make great toothpicks when you don't know.
What frightens me is how you know that. I mean, I know your uncle is known to eat some pretty odd things.
Well, no, yeah, really. His wife went to law school. That's how he knows how ferrets taste.
What is this, Fear Factor?
Okay, that was abstract joke alert. Sorry.
Don't worry. We'll add sound effects in the post-production section of the show. I promise you the joke went over really well with the audience.
Like a low-flying
satellite. I wouldn't let Julie listen this weekend if I were you.
Yeah, really. It's just like, yeah, where's the sound effect for doom? Yeah, that was about a 40-pound iron skillet whacking me in the skull. Yeah.
Portions of this program were pre-recorded. The rest was taped earlier.
Okay, next issue.
I had to make a dry rub to cook your pork ribs. Mm-hmm. And it's important to do a dry rub on pork ribs because they got lots of fat in them. So what you want to do is you want to mix a little bit of paprika,
mm-hmm.
brown sugar,
yeah,
a little bit of honey's good.
Wait. What was the first one again?
Paprika. It's kind of like that Che thing.
Do you think Che Guevara cooked with paprika?
Che? Where was I? Anyway, brown sugar, a little bit of honey, but the magic ingredient.
Now, I wanted to understand something. Wait. You said it's a dry rub. Honey, last I checked, has somewhat liquid.
No!
Do men ever stop being stupid?
That girl is sharp, boy. You don't want to try and put one over on her.
She's about to get something sharp.
Now you're going to pay the penalty.
So the magic ingredient when you're cooking with Piggy is ginger. Mm-hmm. Ginger and Piggy go so good together. It's just amazing. But anyway, you want to put some onion powder, some garlic powder, some cayenne pepper. But you'll take these things and just mix them all together where they're a nice gooey mass.
Mm-hmm.
You can even add oil to it if you like.
And then throw the ribs away and sit at home.
Don't worry, folks. They're no
put
good.
Put your pancreas into shock.
Once you put... You rub this stuff on the ribs and coat them down pretty good with it. Put them on a low fire and just let them cook for hours. Let low heat do its magic. And once you cook them like that for a good while, you don't want it to use high heat because that will burn the sugar.
Mm-hmm.
You got to watch it all the time because sugar will caramelize on you in a snap. So you got to be careful about that. And if they start to look a little dry, hey, there's no problem. You can wrap them up in aluminum foil. Leave a small like opening on one side for steam to get out.
Or just open the lid of your grill and let the rain moisten.
Which was big this weekend. Well, luckily, I have the grill up underneath an overhang, so we were able to keep okay. keep
so
the water off.
So we leaving the grill closed?
You had the grill under an overpass?
Yeah, really. The police came to chase me out. I was like, come on, buddy. You can't cook. Hey, wait a second. Are we cooking ribs? All right, we'll be right over there.
Bring donuts.
Yeah, really. Radio out for more of them. This guy's good. Yeah.
Donut Monster 1. This is Donut Monster 2.
Yeah.
Tell me, do you boil the ribs at all first to loosen them up and pre-cook them a little, or do you sear them in a pan or anything like that? Some people do those things.
Yeah, I remember hearing somebody commenting on that. And the next line after that was, boys, get a rope.
I see. We don't boil ribs in Texas.
I have heard this done. I've also heard of them boiling a brisket a little bit before.
That's just immoral.
Well, okay.
In beer?
You got to remember, what are you trying to do with ribs, beef, brisket, anything? Especially brisket.
Mm-hmm.
Brisket has got a lot of... Exactly. And you soften it up by doing what? Cooking. But why does cooking soften it up? Because the brisket is like shot through with not only lines of fat, but a lot of connective tissue that is protein-based. And once you heat that connective tissue up to a certain degree, all those connective bonds begin to break down. The protein essentially liquefies.
Kind of like a Hollywood movie star's face over the years. It explains all the plastic surgery.
Yeah, you got to keep tightening things up. Got to take in some slack there, guys.
But we don't want to tighten up the ribs. Yeah, we want them to loosen up.
But you're going to lose flavor in that.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're not boiling the thing completely. All they're doing is just boiling it for a little while to seal in the flavor. For example, if you're going to boil a chicken... A good way to do this is you gotta seal the back end of the chicken up. You stuff it with good stuff, seal it up, and go ahead and dunk the thing in boiling water for about 30 seconds, and then pull it out.
I thought you put them in the water when it was cold and then turned up the heat slowly so the chicken doesn't hop out.
Yeah. This is from a guy who's had ptomaine how many times? Okay, no, what you want to do is you want to put the chicken in boiling water for just a short while, like 30 seconds, then pull it out for a couple of minutes. What that does is it shocks the skin of the chicken. Chicken still got his skin on. Beef, well, he pretty much removed the skin, unless he went, cowish tasting food.
So then you can peel it off pretty easy.
Yeah, very good, yeah. Well, anyway, you leave the skin on, and literally the skin seals up. And then when you put the chicken back in the boiling water for, 30 minutes or however long you're going to cook it, then it will seal in all the juices and flavors.
But
they won't all leak out like you
were talking about. But Brewing Frog, how do you tell when you shock the chicken? Because they all have that wide-eyed look on their face.
That is assuming you've left the head on.
No wonder he's got ptomaine how many times.
I was reading an article the other day.
Get this beak off my plate. Yeah.
And it said that one chicken actually managed to live for 18 months without its head. Because you know how they can run around and stuff when you cut them off. And in fact, my dad, when he was about 6 years old, my grandparents, more of a country area, they kept their own chickens and things. And
Green Acres is the place to be.
Sunday dinner, my great-grandfather got there and pick a chicken, and he had a board that had two nails in it to put the chicken neck in.
New York is where I'd rather stay. I get allergic smelling hay.
He chops the chicken's head off. Unfortunately, he loses the grip on the chicken, point the headless chicken, spurting blood, comes running straight at my six-year-old father. I'm surprised my father was ever able to eat chicken again. He was traumatized for years after that chicken going after him.
America's... No, I want the salmon. The salmon! Give me the salmon!
So the tax demigoddesses are in the studio with us. Not only did they get to hear that whole horrible discourse on cooking, they actually have to eat this sort of cooking on a fairly regular basis. Does your dad barbecue very often?
Barbecue what?
I don't know. That's, I'm here to ask the questions.
Well, I have one word for you. Ow! Ow! So, yes.
Is he the guy that licks the drop of A1 off the hot grill? Is that your
dad? We're Worcestershire people.
Worcestershire. So how's the golf lessons going, Tori?
It's in the pantry with Mike.
Relatively well, I guess.
Hey, I told you to get close to the microphone, and I meant it. So how's the golf lessons going, Tori?
Pretty good. Just avoiding the nickname of a walking divot.
And why would you think you'd be able to avoid that if it's in fact true?
You are your father's daughter, after all. Well,
got nothing, do you?
Got nothing.
Severe attack of microphone shyness taking place, but somehow I see calm and relaxation on little sister Lexi. So pull that microphone over there, say hi, and tell me how your golf lessons are going.
Not very well.
Oh, that's not true.
She's not just calm, she's honest. How are you playing? Are you winning any trophies these days?
As a matter of fact, they both are winning medals.
They both are winning medals?
Unfortunately not.
Whatever I can find at TGIY.
I've been too busy smacking the mosquitoes that are the size of phone books.
Yeah. In Australia, we had a joke where two guys in a tent by the river, one guy shouts out in the middle of the night, "Help, there's a mosquito on me." The other guy says, "We'll knock him off." And the first guy says, "I can't, he's got me arms pinned down." Are they that big here? No.
But they have different accents.
If I were a younger man, I might take offense at that young lady. Crikey, it's lucky for you, my bark is bigger than my bite.
So did your favorite win in the U.S. Open over the weekend? I saw it was Annika again.
No, we're kind of rooting for Michelle Wee.
Were you? Mm-hmm. Well, what about in the playoff? Because, who was the other lady? I can't remember her name.
Inkster's the one I like. She's the one who's like our age, right?
Yeah, she's 46, yeah, yes. And she has daughters as old as
Michelle. Pretty old comment, little girl.
What I was asking was, weren't you pulling for the ordinary every gal that was playing against Annika and had a chance to, you know, win one for the little guy?
Almost, but Annika, she's been working at it so long, you can tell that's just her element.
Yeah, she gets confident when it gets tough.
Michelle Wee's all stylish out there, but Annika's out there, give me the ball.
That's exactly right.
I want the ball, coach! Give me the pill, Skip!
You pegged it, and you're at this age, you're seeing the difference in the will and the commitment, and that's a good thing. You think you'll be out there someday?
Yes, but I'm not sure as who.
I'm just hoping not Caddy.
Hey, that would be a good, you'd have C-A-T-T-Y, Caddyshack.
Can you believe she's wearing that top with those shorts?
And those earrings! Oh my gosh!
Do those shorts make her butt look big?
Yeah.
Well, enough time has passed on a Sunday afternoon without my traditional visit to the driving range, and so in spite of the best advice of broadcast professionals and close friends and relatives with our best interests at heart, this program will be back again next week at the same
X time,
same X channel. X Man!
The story you have just seen is true. The names were changed to protect the innocent.